What's up, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome on into the Brass Ring Media Podcast Spotlight. I am your host, Zach Haydorn, thrilled to be here. It's been a bit since we've done a live episode of Spotlight, so I've missed it dearly. I've missed you all, and it's good to be back. If you missed last week's episode of the show, check it out. It was a fantastic conversation between myself and John Finkel, who is an author and biographer on an upcoming book regarding Randy Savage, a complete biography of the Macho Man Randy Savage. And John and I spent almost an hour talking about the book, of course, talking about Randy Savage, of course, but also talking about just writing in general, pro wrestling in general, and all things you need to know about the book, which comes out in April. So if you missed last week because you missed your live fix of the Spotlight show, definitely go back and check that out. I think you'll be happy that you did. It was a really fun show to do. Again, John Finkel joined me last week to talk Randy Savage, the Macho Man, ahead of a biography that comes out at the beginning of April. Thanks for joining me today, everybody who's joining us live. Thanks to everybody who's watching and or listening on demand. Appreciate you being here. This is Spotlight, and this is the show where we take one single topic and we shine a light right on that topic for a good, 30 to 45 minutes. And we just focus on that. So we're not, jumping back topic to topic. We're not going WWE to AEW or anything like that. We're not previewing anything here. We're just picking one topic and sticking to it and talking about it with you guys. So hello to everybody in the chat. Azan, thanks for being here, man. Yes, I'm in Chicago. Zach, non-blood sucking from Chicago and wrestling is Azan's first note here in the live chat. I think that's a good thing, Azan. I think so, but I like where your head's at. If that first message is any kind of indication of how this show is going to go, I think it's definitely going to be a good one. So with that said, the spotlight today is going to be directly on Mercedes Moné, and it's timely. We like to do that on this show. It's timely. It's a timely topic to take up because she is heavily in the news. And not only is she heavily in the news, she is a prominent fixture in one of the biggest wrestling companies in the world, AEW, as of last week. And so I figured that now's the time to kind of shine a light on her and not just what she's already done in AEW and what she's going to do in AEW, but I also wanted to talk about her place in professional wrestling history too, because she is a very prominent figure already. And Azan is saying in the chat right now that she's still so young, and that's true. She's got a lot of years left to go, and she's done a lot. She's done a ton. And so, I want to give that history some credit and some credence and some conversation as well, which we will do right here on the show. Hello to Zach, who's joined us in the chat. Zach, hello. Yeah, I also got to admit, all right, eat some crow. Here you go. Eating up some crow here. I was somebody who was pretty steadfast in believing that Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks would not be AEW bound at any point in time, because I just felt that, she's somebody that, likes the spotlight, so to speak, and she likes attention on her, and she likes big business, and she likes money, and she, she has aspirations outside of wrestling. And I just figured that she's got history in WWE. WWE can now get her all of that stuff that she wants. And that would be her landing place, once Vince McMahon kind of rode off into the sunset, so to speak. By the way, speaking of that, man, the stuff from Ronda Rousey that came out today, as far as excerpts from her book and how Ronda Rousey talks about the culture of WWE and Vince McMahon, it's stunning. Like, it really is stunning, especially coming from Ronda Rousey, who, was treated like, God's gift to wrestling when she came into that company. So it's really telling, I think, for her to be talking the way that she is in her upcoming book. We'll talk more about that on our flagship show tomorrow afternoon with Tyler Sage and myself. But wow, like that was pretty eye-opening to see that kind of come out. And, you know, if that's just a snippet of what she says about WWE in the book, it's going to be fascinating to see what else she says there. So quick sidebar, because that was breaking news that that hit today. But the topic at hand is Mercedes Moné, and we'll get to that in a second before we set the table for the show here. This is Spotlight. Spotlight is a weekly show right here, part of Brass Ring Media and the Brass Ring Media YouTube channel. If you are listening to this and you have not subscribed to our channel, please do so. We are live Monday through Thursday, every single day of the week, twice on Thursday with two live shows. Talking professional wrestling, analyzing professional wrestling from multiple different angles, lots of different opinions, and lots of different styles and show types. So really think there's something for everybody in our fun live format where we, you know, we go live. We have the comment stream opened up and you guys can say whatever you want to say and we will talk to you on the air. So it's really fun Monday through Thursday, right here on the YouTube channel. If you want to check out our Brass Ring Media written content, you can subscribe to our newsletter on Substack, Brass Ring Media Substack. Just throw that in your Google search engine and we'll be the first thing that pops up. We'd love to have you check out some of written content, which includes features, show reviews, interviews, and lots of other just cool written work from myself, from Tyler Sage and others on the Brass Ring Media team. So it's Brass Ring Media on Substack. It's been a really just fun time over there. So hopefully you guys can subscribe and get that right in your inbox every single morning. If you like all that you see and hear and read, you can become a Brass Ring Media member on Patreon. It's $4 a month for all of the Brass Ring Media content delivered right on a silver platter to you. As a member, you get access to a free member-only podcast that hits once a week. You get access to all of our PLE and pay-per-view review shows, which go up on our channel about 24 hours after the event has closed. You get full access to the newsletter, including the free articles, but also specialty member-only paid articles are there as well. And then also you get access to our Discord community, which has really been a fun time that a lot of our listeners right now are a part of. Talk wrestling, of course, but also life and music and sports and entertainment and TV shows and all sorts of different cool stuff. So we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you. It's going to be a really busy next couple weeks, really next couple months, you know, with WrestleMania on the horizon. So now's a perfect time. $4 gets you it all. Patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. As for today, I do have the super chats open. We'd love any kind of contribution you'd be willing to make to the show, even whether it's in the form of a question or a comment or, hey, Zach, stop talking. Either way, it's fine. We assume any super chat that we can, and we appreciate your support. It really helps us out. It helps us kind of keep the vision of Brass Ring Media going and moving forward. Those are open if you so choose. And I thank you in advance for supporting us on the show. All right, let's talk Mercedes Moné. The spotlight is on her. She had one heck of a debut last week on AEW Dynamite. She's not the best promo in the world. We know that, right? And that's really not what she brings to the table as like a major star anyway. It's not her talking ability. I mean, it's definitely her matches, but really more so than her matches, what I think Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks has really figured out, especially, you know, in the last 3 years, let's say 3 or 4 years, is how to present herself as a star. Like that's, to me, that is like her best quality that she has as a professional wrestler. I mean, she knows how to present as a star. You know, she's not the greatest talker in the world. She's not the greatest wrestler in the world. She's very good, but she's not the greatest wrestler in the world either. But man, nobody can match her in terms of you see her on TV and you can't look away because she looks like she looks like a star. And she looks like you know, her personality with the volume turned up. And I think that's really important. It's authentic. It's something you can connect with. You believe in what she does and what she says and how she acts, because it's, you know, it's her personality with the volume turned up. And if you talk to any of the major characters in the business, the big stars who have drawn money, Rock, Austin, Hogan, they all talk about finding that part of your personality that connect with people and turning it up to 11. And that's your professional wrestling gimmick. And, you know, Mercedes Moné has found that. She found it in WWE as Sasha Banks, and she found it when, you know, going on her own as Mercedes Moné, and amplified it even more, I'd argue. So it's a good sign for AEW in that regard that she had such a strong debut in that way, like leaning right into what she does best, which is look like a damn star. She did that. We talked about this last night on our flagship show with myself and Tyler Sage, and how, you know, AEW could have helped her out and promoted her, you know, and not kind of left the fans in this weird, like, yeah, she's going to be there, but we're not going to hype her up. We're not, you know, it just was a bizarre way to promote and market her coming in. But I think long term, what matters with her is to continue presenting herself as a star, to continue to like adopt the persona that she took on in AEW when she stood in the ring and said that she's the face of the company. Like, that it's important for her to continue to show that, to continue to play that character and be, you know, and be that person. That's what Tony Khan's buying. And I think if she does that, you know, she can elevate the folks around her. You know, she can elevate not just the women's division, but really the entire company. You know, there's a lot of fans out there that know her from her WWE days as Sasha Banks and may not have a clue that she's out and about in another wrestling company as somebody named Mercedes Moné, right? But once they do, once she's out there, now she is, you know, now people may start sampling the product. And as long as she's continues to be booked in a strong way and continues to present as a big star and stuff around her is compelling to potential new viewers, that is going to be her lasting impact on the company, is introducing new eyeballs to what AEW is, not just her, but everything around her. Oh, you don't know Will Ospreay? Well, now you do, because you came in and you checked out Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks, and you saw this Will Ospreay guy, and man, he's mesmerizing in the ring. I gotta watch more than that. I gotta keep going. I need to see more of this Will Ospreay guy. So I'm gonna tune into Dynamite, and I'm gonna tune into Collision. Like, that's how it goes. That's how it goes. That's how you build viewers, and that is the value for Mercedes Moné. You know, if she can continue to present like she did, and so. We're going to talk more about her AEW run here in a minute. We have a super chat from Zach with a very interesting possibility and an really interesting parallel that I want to make sure that we get to in a super chat. I like the idea, Zach, and we're going to get to that here in a second. But before we do, I want to go back. I want to go backwards in time and talk about Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks, and her place in professional wrestling history. Like, because I think history is going to look back on her as being one of, if not the most influential, you know, women's wrestler ever. And I know it's kind of like, you could be looking at me right now going like, oh man, like ever? Come on, Zach, like don't be over dramatic and don't oversell. And I'm really not. Like, I'm really not. Like, she was a part of a major movement in WWE, you know, and I think she already gets a lot of credit for that, you know, in WWE, but I also think that there's more credit for her to get because she's was surrounded by other people in WWE in particular that did other things, you know, on a little bit of a bigger stage first, right? Like, Sasha Banks is not the first woman to ever main event a WrestleMania. Becky Lynch is. Charlotte Flair is. Ronda Rousey is. But for that to happen, for that to have happened, a lot of other things had to happen first. And Sasha Mercedes was a part of those things that led up to WWE feeling like they could finally, you know, put women's wrestling in the main event of WrestleMania. I mean, and it took them long enough, right? I mean, we all knew that women can be strong wrestlers and can, you know, carry segments on Raw in major ways. And the company just never gave them enough time to do that until the class of Sasha and Becky and Bayley and Charlotte came up through NXT. And that's when things started. And really, it's not, you know, Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch, you know, had some key moments, right? I mean, unquestionably they did. But a major talent that brought, you know, women's wrestling in WWE to the forefront because of certain matches in particular was Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné. You know, the two matches that Sasha had with Bayley, you know, at the first NXT TakeOver Brooklyn show, and then the 30-minute Iron Woman match, you know, at another TakeOver. Like, those are unheralded matches. I mean, like, look, they're not unheralded, but because especially that one in Brooklyn is, you know, a legendary match, but it's not just a good match. It is a meaningful match when you look at the course of history with women in the WWE. Like, period. I mean, no woman in WWE had a match like that one in Brooklyn before it. Like, that was a major, major opportunity for two women in a singles match that had a lot of build, that had two really strong characters, and then they went out on a major stage in a major arena and, you know, had an absolute classic. That, I mean, so much was on the shoulders of that match. Like, if they don't deliver there and they have a total stinker of a match, like, do you think the women's evolution in WWE goes the same way? I mean, this is Vince McMahon we're talking about here, right? Like, I don't think so. You know, those women in that match, not only did they have their own expectations to kind of beat out, but man, you had all sorts of eyes and spotlights on you, and they delivered. And so I think that match in a lot of ways changed the course of women's wrestling in WWE. And Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, was a part of that. I mean, obviously a key part of that. And I look back at that match and, you know, it's such a good match. I mean, you could watch that match over and over and over and over again and still be kind of blown away by it because it's so effective. And I think the reason it stands the test of time, and this is what I think, like, you know, the people who love good wrestling matches forget, is that that match had an incredible story behind it. Like, it's not just a good match. I mean, it is a good match for sure. But I mean, there's nothing in that match that you hadn't seen before necessarily. Like, it wasn't like there were like crazy moves that nobody has seen before or anything like that. Like, it had story in it. It had drama in it. It had two characters in Bayley and Sasha that people were invested in big time. Majorly invested in that Bayley story and her finally becoming the NXT Women's Champion. Like, that was a thing. And so I think you could forget sometimes, like, what really makes a good match. And this one is a great example of that because it didn't have a ton of bells and whistles, but man, it didn't need them. It did not need them. And what they did out there was crisp and wonderful and beautiful as far as, you know, the art of wrestling goes. And my point in all this is Sasha was a part of that, you know. No, she's not the first person to main event WrestleMania, or first woman to main event WrestleMania. But, like, nobody's doing that if Sasha doesn't have that match in Brooklyn. Nobody's doing that if Sasha doesn't have, you know, the 30-minute Iron Woman match, you know, the next pay-per-view against Bayley. think it was at the Performance or at a, you know, at Full Sail, but still, like, it was a hell of a match. And, you know, the rest of what happens with the Women's Evolution doesn't happen if those matches don't deliver. They're really important. Once Sasha Banks made it to the main roster, she main evented a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view with Charlotte Flair. Another, like, kind of checkbox. First woman to do that. Like, once again, the women aren't main eventing WrestleMania unless Charlotte and Sasha, you know, hit a home run with that match. And they did. And they delivered. You know, and again, it made people look, you know, all of this took way too long, of course, right? But, you know, given the circumstances, that type of match continued to make people inside WWE, Vince McMahon particularly, look at his women wrestlers differently, but not just as, you know, people to put on television that look good and that's it and can pull hair, right? Like, no, they can actually have athletic, good matches that can draw and that can carry pay-per-views. And a lot of that was proven out by Sasha Banks in WWE and by, you know, her dance partners too. But Sasha is a common denominator in a lot of that. First Women's Royal Rumble, who's out there right away? Sasha Banks. You know, she's one of the, like, a pioneer of that match, you know, the first one, the first woman to enter, you know, like that. Yeah, it's kind of a trivia question, but it matters, you know, that usually somebody that goes out there in a Royal Rumble match in the first 2, 3, 4 entrants is kind of like the middle of the pinwheel of the match. That's out there, the general keeping everything together. And Sasha played that role. Who's the first women's tag team champion? Sasha Banks, right? Like, yeah, those titles have not, that was not a, I want to be nice here. The titles are pretty meaningless. Like, let's just call a spade. They're meaningless. I still, for the life of me, can't understand how and why WWE can't book a women's tag team division better than they do, especially when they have all this time to fill on a week-to-week basis, but that's a different show. The bottom line is, when they decided to introduce women's tag championships to the company, look, somebody like Sasha Banks trusted to kind of handle that responsibility and carry that flag, right? That matters. That means something. And so you look through all these different points in history, and it's Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, that's there. That's in those big spots. That's delivering those big spots, elevating, you know, the women's division to a different level within WWE. Like, that's so important because I just don't think it happens without her. And that's why she is just an important figure for women's wrestling in general. And this is all before, you know, it's all pre-pandemic, right? Now we're in the pandemic. Okay. Who does Vince McMahon lean on the most to carry those shows? The shows where there's, I mean, for the few weeks where there was nobody, not a sound from anybody in an audience. Sasha, Bailey, that matters. You know, they are trusted upon to deliver in that very weird, bizarre moment that nobody would ever want to go back to again. But when people do, and if people do, I mean, Sasha Banks is all over that. The pandemic era, WWE. I mean, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, like, they're everywhere. Everywhere. As Alzan says in the chat here, yeah, they were the MVP of the COVID era. Right. It's meaningful. That matters. That's big time stuff. And then finally, when Sasha Banks and the WWE come out of the pandemic, or start to anyway, WrestleMania 37, Sasha Banks gets the big WrestleMania moment. First African American women to main event WrestleMania. Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, and once again, hell of a match. It's one of my favorite Sasha Banks matches. Like, it's not at the level of Sasha and Bayley from Brooklyn, but I love that match so much. My daughter, you know, who was 2.5 at the time, like, she still loves that match. Like, it, and maybe that's why I like it so much, because she likes it so much. But I mean, she could just watch the Sasha Banks and Russell and Bianca Belair entrances from that WrestleMania over and over and over and over again, over and over and over again. Just replay, rewind. Yeah, she's seen the match, doesn't care about it. Likes the entrances. But again, my point is, though, that's another historic, you know, mark for her in professional wrestling. You know, she wasn't the first woman to do it, but first African-American woman to do it. And I think that's major. That's huge. So I'm excited to talk about all this, because it's fun to, like, look back and, you know, just kind of get a fresh set of eyes on what, you know, wrestlers have done. And that's why I'm kind of excited about this show in general, to have the time to do that. Because, look, I mean, there's so much going on in current wrestling. Like, there's AEW and WWE and NXT and WrestleMania and all these things. And so it's hard to, you know, take a step back and go, man, like, let's take a look at Mercedes Moné. And you do. And I have all these notes written out here. And it's incredible, like, the career that she's had so far. Really incredible. Hi, Tracy. Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining the show. So that, to me, like, up until WrestleMania 37, it was like, that's Sasha Banks, right? Sasha Banks, the WWE wrestler who, you know, was a fan of WWE, and she loved Eddie Guerrero, right? And she wanted to have all these opportunities to be a champion and be a tag champion and have a Royal Rumble and, you know, compete in a Money in the Bank match and what have you, main event WrestleMania. And then she did that. And then kind of after WrestleMania 37, then you start to see, like, a Sasha Banks who starts to understand her value as a performer, her value as a wrestler, her, like, value as a businesswoman in professional wrestling. And this interview always stands out to me when I think about Sasha Banks. And it's her on the Broken Skull Sessions with Steve Austin. And if you haven't seen it, definitely go back and watch it, because it's a fascinating watch. But in that, you know, Sasha talks about, hey, like, I'm done with, like, being in this business as a fan. Like, I'm a businesswoman now, you know? And it sounds kind of corny, you know, a little bit when she says it. And admittedly, like, it's a little bit of like, you eye roll at that. But then when you break it down, it's like, good for you. Like, good for you, Mercedes. Good for you, Sasha. Like, knowing your value and getting it and going out there and doing what you want to do. And I applaud her for that. I really do. And so the way she left WWE, not great, right? You don't want to be somebody that walks out on your job, any job. But hey, sometimes drastic times call for drastic measures, right? Isn't that the phrase? And so she leaves WWE and she goes out and she is able to kind of test the waters in a new area. She appears at Wrestle Kingdom. Right? Like, she wrestles for Stardom. Like, pretty cool moments that, you know, did a couple things, right? Checked the box of something that she wanted to do personally. But also, like, was good for her business too. Like, made her a lot of money. Like, there's no question. No question that it did, but good for her on that. That's the whole idea. That's the point. So that little run, though, I'm curious as to what the chat thinks about that run, because, you know, there was a novelty factor to Mercedes Moné in New Japan and in Stardom, you know, but man, it didn't last long and it didn't go great. Right? And I feel like, you know, maybe big Mercedes Moné fans can't be honest about that at this time, but like the promos weren't good. The matches were like, okay, you know, they weren't to the caliber of anything that she's done in WWE in my opinion. Like, you know, the Bayley matches are better than anything she did. The Bianca Belair match is better than anything that she did. Even the Charlotte matches, I think, are better than she actually did. And so, like, it just was a little flat to me. Like, she didn't work the top woman star in Japan, which is Julia. Like, or to me, that is the top woman star that people would have wanted to see her work with. And then that never happened. And I don't think that was the plan. Obviously, Sasha got hurt. But again, it just didn't go great. And everybody in the chat is kind of not reading me the right eye, but pointing out like it didn't last very long. And no, it didn't. But that's kind of my point, is that for whatever reason, it didn't last long. She got hurt. You know, she didn't wrestle the top talent. She couldn't cut very good promos. Like it just didn't work for all of those reasons. It didn't work. And so I think it was good for her to kind of like dip her toe into that space and into that area. And like, you know, show and present as this big global attraction. If you watched it though, I don't know that she came across that way, but it doesn't matter. Perception is reality. And, you know, she was able to parlay that perception and the notoriety that she has as Sasha Banks in WWE, to get a major, major contract with AEW. Like we talked about yesterday, reportedly near $15 million for 3 years. And that's that's big money. That is big time money for AEW to spend. Like, as Tyler pointed out yesterday, that's more than Okada is reportedly making. So, that's significant. It's significant. And, you know, to circle back and kind of wrap around how we started the show, she now needs to provide that kind of value to the company. I think they had a good start. You know, I think, again, she presented as a big star. I think she has a long way to go, though, in terms of actually bringing in viewers, because that didn't happen. And that's not just on her, right? It's on Tony Khan. It's on the booking. It's on the marketing. It's on everybody around her, you know, to hold viewers that she brings in. So it's not a one-man show, but she is getting paid a lot of money. So, you know, the responsibility is going to be on her to deliver. So the question now is, who the heck do you put her in the ring with? Right? Who could she make, you know, major historical moments with in AEW that she did, or like she did in WWE? Because again, that was kind of her calling card, right? You need a big match in the women's division, Sasha Banks can step up and did step up. You know, AEW is in a similar spot. You know, that women's division is treading water. I mean, man. Right? Treading water. She can change that. She can change the fortunes there. But who does she do it with? Well, first woman that's going to come to mind is Toni Storm. Toni Storm's the AEW Women's World Champion, you know, so it makes sense to not hold off too long and do that match. Get that match done. Get it done. Get the feud done. And if it's me, you know, I'm getting that title on Mercedes Moné. Put the championship on the biggest star that you have, and that's Mercedes right now. Plus, you know, Tony kind of has this, you know, comedy, you know, timeless Toni Storm gimmick going on. It's hard. It's really hard, and it's proven out for babyfaces to kind of enter that timeless Toni Storm sphere because she's so good. And yeah, she's like playing heel, but nobody really dislikes her. And that's a problem if you're a babyface, especially at that level when there's that type of passion for the Toni Storm comedy. Like, it's impossible for any like babyface to kind of enter that sphere and be successful. Maybe Sasha can do it. But either way, even if it's like you have to just kind of grit your teeth and go forward with that match, even if you might not want to, like Sasha Banks is the best chance, has the best chance to kind of get cheered in that match. And you take the title off Toni Storm, and now Toni can do her thing, and that thing is not saddled with the world championship, and the world championship isn't saddled with that thing. And I think that's important. So that's the first match I would go to. That's an easy one. Then I would look at like, okay, we need to line up opponents for her. You know, she's going to be a babyface, and we need to line up opponents for her to knock down, you know, as a top babyface in the company. And the first one that I would put out there, and maybe this is a little, kind of a rogue opinion, but I am going to the Britt Baker match sooner than later. And I want to see those two go at it, go toe-to-toe. You have two alphas, like the two biggest stars of the AEW women's division. Britt Baker's been off TV for a while, so there's a, you know, novelty factor of her coming back, and you know, you go with that. And I think you could get like a good 6 months out of that feud. I don't know if Britt Baker's healthy. I'm just saying that like down the road, once they kind of get the title on Mercedes, that's the first feud that I would have. And in my head, it's like Mercedes Moné walks out as champion, and you do a stare off with Britt Baker, who comes back and stares her down, challenges her for that title, and now we're off to the races. But look, you could get a long feud with that. You get a long story arc. That match, if built the right way, can main event some AEW pay-per-views. Like it really can. It certainly could main event some of the B pay-per-views that are going to pop up on the calendar throughout the rest of this year. So I'd get there sooner or later, but I wouldn't look at it as like a one-off match. I would, if I'm Tony Khan, I'm going, okay, we're going to make some money off this. Like we're going to do three pay-per-view matches with Britt Baker and Sasha Banks. It's going to be a trilogy of matches that is going to define our women's division for years to come. Like that is the type of emphasis and definition that I would put on that match. And I think both women can deliver. Mercedes, Sasha, has been there before, right? She's been tasked with a responsibility like that before. So, you know, go with it. Go with it. Like, run with that. Show how it's done. Talk and make sure Britt Baker understands how it's done and how you do business on that level. But that would be my second match. So we got Mercedes Moné versus Toni Storm, excuse me, for the title. Then we have a long program with Mercedes Moné and Britt Baker. Now, what's after that? What's after that? you guys in the chat are cracking me up. Zach, I don't think Toni Storm's dropping the title to Deonna Purrazzo at this stage. I mean, not with Mercedes there. You got to do Mercedes and Toni Storm. Like, you know, Purrazzo's kind of the odd woman out. She's been really good. No, don't get me wrong. I mean, she's been a very good addition to the women's division there, but she's just a level below Mercedes Moné, like significantly below. So, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, back to the plan here that we're drawing up. So, as I mentioned, Toni Storm, Britt Baker, hopefully then, by the time you're done with like a six-month feud with Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter's ready to go. And then I'm moving to that next. Former champion coming to take on the new champion, and not just the new champion, but the new face of the AEW women's division that was holding down the spot in the company when – you know, Jamie Hayter was out injured. I mean, that feud writes itself, right? And that's also, I also have that as like the third match, because like that is enough time for Tony Khan and the company to gauge whether or not Mercedes Moné should stick as a babyface or turn heel. Like that's about, you know, we're talking like a nine month period there. Okay. Like, you know, now at that point, whether or not AEW fans are buying Mercedes as a babyface or buying Mercedes as a heel. And look, let's call a spade a spade. Like Mercedes, Sasha has not been a very good babyface. We're going to call it upon. I think she's turned babyface because fans just, they like her so much. But then when she actually tries to play a babyface, and when she tries to like wrestle heels in like a babyface way that, you know, you need sympathy for and you need to sell for, that's where she has not succeeded. You know, she just hasn't. And so her babyface runs don't last very long, traditionally. So if you wait until that Jamie Hayter feud and then assess where she's at, Hayter can come back, and if Mercedes Moné is more, you know, over as a heel at that time, then great. Jamie Hayter comes back as a conquering, returning AEW original, and now she's the babyface in the feud with Mercedes. If Mercedes is over as a babyface and she stays hot in that regard, well then, you know, you go the other way with Jamie Hayter. But my point in saying that is it's just a good time to like reassess how things are going with Mercedes Moné. Randy, I see that there. Thanks for being one of the five, my friend. Appreciate you. Anyway, back to Mercedes Moné. So that's the feud I'm doing. And I'm getting a couple matches out of that too. I mean, look, six, I know you guys, some of the Zach in the live chat here is going, hey, damn, keep going and she'll be feuding with Serena Deeb in 2027. Yeah, I mean, look, like, I think you want Sasha to be a part of like significant stories and significant angles in AEW. And a lot of the top stuff in AEW has been, you know, long-term stuff. It hasn't worked, you know, and there's been a lot of choppiness in almost every long-term thing that they did, that they've done. And it really, a lot of it hasn't clicked. But the top stars get those longer arcs. MJF had it. Adam Cole had it. CM Punk had it. Adam Page had it, right? Long arcs. And so I think you want the same thing for Sasha. Like you want, or Mercedes, excuse me, you want her to be focused on like that. And so, you know, I think you can make long-term programming work, you know, with certain stars. And I think Mercedes has to be one of them. I mean, so you're certainly paying her enough for that. So, okay, going Jamie Hayter. Now we're like a year out. we're like a year out, you know, and we've only run through, you know, two or three opponents, you know? And the other reason why you want to make some of these key programs last a long time is so that in the background, Tony Khan can make other stars ready to face Mercedes Moné. Like, okay, do you want to do something with Julia Hart? Cool. You know, do it. Start booking Julia Hart even stronger than you already are so that in a year, people look at her as a star and that match with Sasha is a money match. Like, now you have the time to do that. So Julia Hart is in the picture. I think, you know, Willow Nightingale, I think that's going to be kind of a short-term match for her here out of the gate. But you can go back to it. You can present Willow Nightingale as something bigger. Let's get to Zach's super chat here about Serena Deeb. And Zach says, and thank you, Zach, for contributing to the show. Thoughts on the idea of Mercedes versus Serena Deeb and its parallels to Brett versus Shawn. So this is interesting. That's an interesting parallel. I like the idea of Mercedes versus Serena Deeb. I mean, that match can be a heck of a match. But that's exactly what I'm talking about in terms of Tony Khan taking time to build up Serena Deeb as an opponent. Like, I don't think you want to do that match right now because Serena Deeb is not anywhere near the level of a star that you want, that you'd want her to be for a big program with Mercedes Moné. Now, when you're paying Moné $15 million, like, Serena Deeb needs to be built up in order for that match to deliver. I would do it, though. You know, I would take the next year and I would say, look, this time next year, we want to do Mercedes Moné versus Serena Deeb. And, you know, to do that, we're going to get Serena Deeb on TV, on AEW Dynamite, not Rampage, not Ring of Honor winning matches, but Dynamite, and present her as a viable star. And I think if you do that, then Mercedes Moné and Serena Deeb can be money. Like, it can absolutely be money. And look, Zach in the chat is like face palming. It's not that I don't like the match. Look, for real, I do. But I want it to mean a lot more than it would right now. And it's just, so I don't think Serena Deeb is, I mean, she's ready from a, okay, I can have a wrestling match with Sasha Banks, with Mercedes Moné, and a good one. Yeah, of course. Lots of people can. There's people on the indies that can. Doesn't mean that they should. And doesn't mean that they're ready to headline shows, you know, on AEW pay-per-views because of it. You need to put some elbow grease into it and book her in a way that gets her into that spot. So she'd be somebody that's on my list. As I said, Julia Hart would be somebody that's on my list. Saraya is somebody that would be on my list of people to, you know, build something up with. There'd be certainly a different kind of a feud, but I think Tracy, you're making me laugh. You're distracting me. I think that I just totally lost my train of thought. Tracy. No, there's the list, you know, gets kind of long in that like third tier category for wrestlers that can face, you know, Mercedes. Oh, Saraya. That's who I was talking about. They'd have a different kind of match. Like it wouldn't be as like, you know, athletic of a contest as a Jamie Hayter Mercedes match or a Britt Baker versus Mercedes match. It'd be its own little thing. But I think that, you know, that's a match that has some star power behind it. Like, you know, that could be an interesting, like, all-in match, you know, a Wembley match down the road, you know, at some point. And, like, look, if you want to play into that WWE history, it's there. You know, with Sasha being the one to, like, initially kind of, like, injure Saraya and caused the, you know, was part of the spot that caused the neck injury for Saraya in the ring all those years ago. So you can go back to that if you want. So I think that's got some potential. If Sasha Banks is ever a heel, you know, I think a match with Rio would be really good. I think matches with Sheeta would be very good. And there's something like, these aren't major pay-per-view event matches, but like they're something you can get something out of. And the last point I'll make on the show today, guys, is that is like a treasure trove of potential if you're Tony Khan. And if you're Mercedes Moné, it's like, that's why you sign the contract with AEW. You know, there's a lot of reasons to sign with WWE, lots, outside of the money. There's a lot of reasons to sign with AEW outside of the money. And one of those reasons is there's fresh matchups everywhere on that card. Because if Mercedes went back to WWE, you know, she'd be in there with Becky, and she'd be in there with Rhea, you know, and she'd be in there with, like, she'd be right back into the mix of where she, and thanks, Zach, for the super chat, man. I appreciate you and appreciate your contribution always. But she'd be right back into the mix, you know, right back into the lane of traffic. In AEW, that's not the case at all. Like, it's all fresh stuff everywhere. And so, like, hopefully, and I think she is looking at it that way, where it's like, man, I'm going to have some fun here. And I think that's okay. You know what I think about wrestlers saying that they want to have fun? Only to a certain point, wrestlers. You got to make some money too. And you got to be valuable to your company too. But in her case, those fresh matchups are the money as long as it's booked properly. And she is in a spot right now where not only can she bring new viewers in, and as somebody said earlier in the chat, like the gate for tonight's show is really good. It's really good. And, you know, she's a part of that. You know, Okada's a part of that. I mean, look, there's a lot of factors, but she's a key part of that. No question. So she has an opportunity to make the impact that she wants to make, you know, and she was pretty, you know, not arrogant, but like very proud of the fact that she's in AEW now and she has this opportunity to do this for her. And it's her, she, you know, a lot of talk about herself. And so now she's got to deliver, you know, now she has to deliver. It starts tonight. Be really interested to see what kind of promo she cuts tonight. My guess is we're going to get something set up for Dynasty with her and Willow Nightingale. That's my prediction. And that's fine. You know, I don't know. Like, I think you probably wanted to be a little bit more ready for her to come in and have like a better heel to work with, because Willow Nightingale is just like another babyface that people like. So it's not great, but it does have backstory. And I'm sure that's what Tony Khan is thinking. You know, it's got backstory. And so we can, you know, we can just go with that right away and not burn, you know, another important match too quick, you know, with not enough time to build it. So if that's what happens, thumbs up. And we'll see. We'll see tonight. But yeah, guys, what a fun show. I mean, you guys are the best. It was really fun to kind of go back and look at the history of Sasha Banks and Mercedes Moné. And, you know, when you look at it the way that we did, and when you shine that spotlight on it the way that we did, I mean, she's had a heck of a career. She's only in her early 30s. She's got a long way to go. A lot of history to make, a lot of money to make, and a lot of impact to make. And we'll see what she can do here in AEW. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. I do appreciate it. Thanks to our super chatter, Zach. Appreciate you, my friend. Thanks to everybody who listened live. If you are listening on demand and you haven't subscribed to our show or to our channel, excuse me, please do. Hit that subscribe button so you know when we're live and so you know when we put up new video contents. Also, head over to Substack and check out our newsletter. You can sign up there for free to get written reports, written feature articles, written interviews every single day from us at Brass Ring Media. Zahn put it over earlier, like the Raw column that we did yesterday. Thank you, Zach. We'll have an NXT review coming up later tonight. So you can sign up there. Just search Brass Ring Media Substack in Google and we will come up. And also check us out on Patreon if you want to become a member. We'd certainly love to have you. We will do all we can to earn your business, and I think we can do it. And just give us a try, give us a shot, give us an opportunity. I think you'll be glad that you did. You get free member only shows, all of our PLE shows, access to the Discord community, full access to the newsletter, paid and free articles. And I think you'll really enjoy yourself and get your money's worth. So thank you to Sean who dropped this line here. Become a member. Yes, I couldn't agree more with Sean. Thank you, Sean, for being a member and for the shout out. It's patreon.com/brassringmedia. Cool. We'll be live tomorrow right here on the Brass Ring Media YouTube channel with our second flagship show of the week at 3 Eastern. And then tomorrow night, Robert Vryhost takes over the mic for Nocturnal Knockout, our late night show on Thursday night, 10 Eastern, a sports talk-like feel to wrestling analysis. I think you guys will really like that too, so check it out. Until then, I'm Zach, and we'll catch you guys real soon. See ya.